Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Just for the record, Dad, you've never done anything for me.
Can I call my folks and say I won't be home? Ever?
Listen, this is no time for an attitude problem.
I don't have to listen to you.
There's a fine line between mothering and smothering.
I've made mistakes. You're making a big one now.
There is rebellion in the wind.
I'm Jim Byrne. Well, perhaps the most frustrating issue we as parents will ever deal with is the rebellion of our children. And the relationship we have with our kids can be devastated if they choose to rebel and walk away from our rules, our values, and even our God. Well, today on Homeward, I'll be joined by Charles and Heather Stone, father and a daughter whose relationship was devastated by her rebellion. Well, they're here to share their story of devastation and eventual restoration. Both of them have learned incredible lessons the hard way, and they'll share some of those lessons with us today on Homeward. So keep it right here. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899. Welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Sometimes parents and kids, when they hit the college years, run into some rough patches. And it's tough because if you are the parent of a teen or a young adult who's in college and maybe things aren't going so well, you might be asking yourself, well, what happened? I mean, the distance might be good but for you to create a little space there, but what happens when they come home for the holidays or worse yet, I mean, moving forward, how do you restore a relationship with a rebellious child? Charles and Heather Stone know about this firsthand. Charles, a pastor, and Heather, his pastor's daughter, and they have a great story to tell. They're going to tell it to us right now here on the Homeward Broadcast. Here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we have Charles Stone and his daughter Heather Stone. We're talking about dads and daughters surviving the teenage years, and really more than that, we're talking about a story that is most compelling. Heather pretty much having trouble through the teen years, along with Charles and his wife, and we'll talk about that. Their book is called Daughters Gone Wild, Dads Gone Crazy. Welcome to our program, Charles and Heather Stone.
Thank you very much.
Great to be with you.
Well, Charles, you're the senior pastor of Ginger Creek Community Church right outside of Chicago, and Heather, you're a college student, I understand, in a nursing program. Is that right?
Right.
And you're actually speaking to each other, but there was a time where you weren't very excited about each other. There were some real tough times. Kind of happened around the 13th birthday, I understand. Charles, from your point of view, what happened?
Well, I'd say Heather would be the epitome of the poster child for the great youth group kid. And literally in a period of a very few months, she morphed into this, I mean, in-your-face, rebellious girl. And my wife and I sometimes would look at her and say, who in the world is this? And so our world literally turned upside down in a period of a few months. And it was a 6 or 7 year journey to kind of survive during those years.
And Heather, that was not necessarily a great season in your life either.
Oh, no. I was, I don't know, I think I was trying to find myself and who I was, and I just had no idea how to go about it, so I tried anything and everything.
Now, Charles, you said in your book that actually your wife and you were kind of on the same track on this. Sometimes that doesn't happen with parents. That's, you know, obviously a good thing. What did you do right?
I would say one of the things we did right was my wife and I, we both, Heather being our firstborns are kind of like your experiment. You know, you read the books, but you're still experimenting with child rearing. We both really tried to maintain a strong, healthy marriage. We talked, we agreed with our plans, we agreed with the decisions we made, and that was probably one of the most important things we did. Not everything we did was right, but we chose to work as a team because we realized if we were divided, what we experienced, the pain, the disappointment, the hurt, would only be compounded. And boy, I'd encourage parents, stay a team.
And it's not easy to do, is it? Now, Heather, kind of give us your story.
Well, I did start out as the perfect pastor's kid. When I was younger, there were some needs that I now realize that were unmet. That I think that's kind of what I was trying to do when I was rebelling, was trying to meet those needs. And also, I'd grown up in Christian schools, and mostly in one that was right outside Atlanta. And these were the kids that I'd known ever since I was in fourth grade. These were, you know, kind of all my little social circle. One day, all the boys in my class got together and wrote me this mean note making fun of me. And I think it was, you know, several things that kind of led up to that. And that incident was the breaking point and where I said, you know what? I've had it with God. I've had it with this church business. And I'm going to try my own thing. So then I started, you know, kind of going wild.
And some of the wild stuff, I mean, what are we talking about in terms of wild?
Well, everything from probation officers and house arrest to those wilderness rehabs. Actually, I was at the place where they filmed the first season of Brat Camp. Hmm. Drugs, alcohol, boys, I mean, you name it. Getting kicked out of schools, going through counselors left and right. Anything that I could do, I did it.
Now, Charles, did you and your wife, Cheryl, have hope through all this? Or did you finally just go, oh my goodness, our hands are tied. What happened here?
Yeah. It was a great temptation to not lose hope. And I just encourage parents that when you feel like you're absolutely at the end of your rope, if hope dies, there's a good chance that relationship will die. Even though our emotions sometimes screamed against leaving the door of our hearts open, we realized and recognized, and God had to use some real painful experiences to keep the door of our hearts open, to never lose hope, even though sometimes we felt like there was no hope. We believe because, you know, in the New Testament, all throughout the Scriptures, hope, 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 hope. And we had to cling to that. And literally, sometimes it was clinging by a thread to that hope.
What do you say to the person who is in the midst of what you were going through right now? And when they're saying, you know what, not only, fine, Charles and Cheryl, they were at least on the same page with Heather, but we're not even on the same page, or maybe there's even a single parent. What do you say to that parent who has a child who really is rebelling in a huge way and really doesn't know where to turn to?
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, don't go through this process alone. We found that some of our friends had the pat answers, and they had the biblical answers, and they said, well, if you've done this and this, everything would be great. We realized those were not the kind of friends we needed. We need someone who would be there for us, who would listen to us, would pray with us, would support us without the pat answers. And I would say that's the first thing. Surround yourself with friends who have a compassionate heart, a very grace-filled heart. And secondly, go get professional help. Mm-hmm. Through your pastor, through a counselor, even through, there's some government agencies. Like in our case, we filed the unruly, and we had the county government helping us kind of monitor her. For every parent that's struggling, whether they're on the same page or they're a single parent, there's always help out there. Even though sometimes you don't feel like seeking it out, find it, look for it, and I believe God will provide it for them.
Well, that's great input. Now, one of the things that you said at the beginning of your book, Daughter's Gone Wild, Dad's Gone Crazy, is you said that you actually felt like you maybe stifled some of Heather's independence. How did you stifle it, and what would you do different?
Yeah, I was really too uptight. Heather can probably be smiling right now.
I couldn't watch the Care Bears because apparently the Care Bears are evil.
Care Bears have unicorns, and I think unicorns must be on drugs. And if you watch that, then you'll end up being on drugs. I was just too stringent. I really was. Now, certainly there are lines where every parent
sure.
must draw. But if I could rewind, if I could redo some of those early years, I would just chill out. I'd back off. If there's some program I was concerned about, you know, with limits, I'd sit down with her and watch it with mm-hmm. her, and we'd talk about it. And I think every personality, there are default modes we all have. We're too soft or we're too harsh. Mm-hmm. My default mode was being too controlling and too harsh. And if I could rewind, I would really back off.
Yeah, that's actually a great insight for a lot of us. And even when you said that you might watch the show together and turn it into a learning experience as well. Heather, I want to ask you the same question. I mean, how much do you think your parents' reaction to your early defiance kind of pushed you further?
I think it had a lot to do with it because initially when I was kind of trying to, because I had been this perfect kid all my life and done everything they'd always wanted me to do, and I didn't really know who I was. And so when I wanted to put a weird hair dye in my hair or, you know, wear like the thrift store clothes or listen to certain music, I think they tended to overreact to things like that and
yep.
say, oh, you know, that's wrong, that's bad. And so that kind of pushed me further, I think, into doing more extreme things because I was like, I can't even, you know, it felt like I had to fight for my freedom. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't have it, so I just kind of kept fighting for it.
So one of the things that keeps coming through in your book is you both talk about choose your battles wisely.
Yep.
And what I hear you saying, Heather, is that, you know, you got to choose these battles wisely.
Exactly. you know, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that your child is going to, you know, grow up to be a felon if they decide to put hair dye in their hair. Or I couldn't watch this cartoon Jim because they wore short skirts. I mean, these really bizarre sort of things.
Another evil thing.
Yeah, and I just didn't understand it. And so I took that and thought, well, is this what Christianity is like? You know, is God just this big rule guy and he's got this big rule book? So it kind of gave me also a distorted view of Christianity. And I think that's kind of also one of the reasons why I sort of left.
Well, that's actually a great place for us to take a break. I want to come back and continue talking about that because I think a lot of kids equate being strict with faith as if God is the big killjoy in the sky. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward. We'll be right back.
And we're talking about restoring a relationship with a rebellious child, and a great story it is to hear because there's a happy ending to it, obviously. Charles and Heather Stone. Charles, a pastor. Heather, his pastor's kid. And you all know who PKs can be. Well, not all of them are, but some of them do get to the situation where they wind up the pressure's too much and they rebel because now they've got God on their case, they've got Dad on their case. Charles and Heather wrote a story about their experience that you'll really benefit from. It's called Daughter's Gone Wild, Dad's Gone Crazy, and we've got it up on our Homeward website today. You can search it and find it wherever Christian books are sold. They've got a great ministry and writing and speaking on this too. If you are wanting to restore a relationship with a rebellious child, I encourage you to listen to this program again. If you'd like an audio CD of this broadcast, Ben will be happy to burn you one. All you have to do is drop us a line, include a gift of any amount in support of our ministry today, and we will thank you for that tax-deductible donation by sending you an audio CD of today's program on restoring a relationship with a rebellious child. Learn more when you go to homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
All right, everybody, let's go.
Daddy?
Yeah, why aren't you ready for church? It's time to go.
Well, you see, that's the thing, Dad. I'm not going.
Because?
I'm really tired this morning.
Try again.
I'm not feeling well. I have a ton of homework
to do. Which you can do as soon as we get home. Let's go, Heather, now.
If you're a parent, it's important that your kids know that you're fair and that you're reasonable and that you're willing to compromise every now and then, but some things need to be non-negotiable, like going to church with the family. Make it a priority to find a family-friendly church where kids are actively involved in what's going on and where they can make friends and join in on activities, ones they really like. And by the way, if this has been a problem in your home recently, I want you to read a great article on this topic. It's called When Your Kids Hate Church. You can download a copy from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Charles Stone and his daughter, Heather Stone, were talking about dads and daughters surviving the teenage years. And of course, if you've been listening, their story is a story of a daughter who at about age 13, who had been the perfect child, went into extreme, extreme rebellion. We're talking court, we're talking drugs, we're talking boys, all the things that are kind of the fears of many of the moms and dads out there. One of the things that you said, Heather, was that this caused you to kind of reconsider your faith in Christ. Now, your dad's a pastor, so you're raised in the church, and yet what you're saying is this rebellion, this experience caused you to pretty much walk away from God for a while.
It did. It just, the Christian schools I went to also were very legalistic. They were more concerned with the length of your skirt than they were with the state of your life and how you were doing. And then with my dad, him being a pastor and enforcing these, to me, that were kind of strange and very, very, very harsh rules, I started to look at the Bible as a big thou shalt not. I didn't look at it as God wrote this because he loves us and he wants us to live the best life possible. I looked at it sort of the way that I saw my dad's rules, like, well, you know, he just wants to keep me in this little cage and he wants me to do exactly what he wants me to do. And so that was, I think, a big reason why I basically left the church for a while, because I didn't have a correct view of God and what all of that really meant.
Now, what's fascinating is obviously there are kids who are raised in that stricter situation and they tend to not rebel. In terms of your experience, have you seen kids who've been raised that way, and yet this was not their story then at the end?
I think sometimes it falls just on personality.
Yeah.
Heather was a firstborn, very, very strong-willed. Our youngest is not strong-willed, and she really thrived and enjoyed that Christian school environment. And I think it really behooves a parent to get a grasp on how God has wired this kid and not treat them all the same. Some maybe a little more strict. Some you give a little more freedom and flexibility.
Mm. Now, if you had it over to do again, Charles, and your daughter came home at 13 and said, I want a tattoo, I want a piercing, I want to dye my hair, you know, bright blue, what would you do differently?
Well, one of the stories we write about when she was graduating from the seventh grade in Christian school, and she went up, we had a little graduation ceremony, and she went up to the principal and got her little graduation certificate. She turned around. On her right arm was a tattoo of Superman. And, man, I could just feel all the cold stares of those other parents looking at me like, this girl has a tattoo. On the way home, I just let her have it that no daughter of mine, I'm a pastor, and we got a da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then she paused for a moment and said, Dad, it was a stick-on tattoo.
Right.
I would be much more flexible. I read some, I don't remember where I picked this up, but somebody said, if you can cut it off, wash it out, grow it out, don't sweat it. If I had learned that when she was 10 years old, I would have applied that principle.
Hurtful words flew during this relationship. They obviously fly in most relationships. And you admit that you said some things during that time to her that were hurtful. How do you deal with the hurtful words? They've been put out on the table. We all do that at times. What's a great way for somebody who maybe is throwing out a lot of hurtful words and they want to take it back? What do they do?
Well, it probably starts before the words even come out. When a parent or anybody is, their life is so full of busyness or even church activity and work, where they're almost on the edge, any little thing can send them. That's a warning sign right there. But in my case, I had to go back to Heather several times and say, Heather, I'm so sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me. But that still didn't take away the pain and the wound that I caused. And part of the process is praying that God will heal those wounds that I cause by my words and remodeling how I should relate as a father. And hopefully Heather or our kids would say, hey, you know, Dad really is changing and he really blew it when he said that. But I'm seeing that he's doing it a lot less. So I can trust him and I can allow that wound to be healed.
I think, you know, the words, I'm sorry, they are amazing healing words. I'm sorry I blew it. Heather, you also admit that your words to your dad during that time were pretty harsh and sometimes hurtful. And you're encouraging girls to hold their tongues because you may have regrets about the things that you said to them. Is it possible to do that when you're angry?
Definitely. And I think if you need to run out of the house or run up to your room or get in your car and drive off, just to hold your tongue. I think so many things, and this is a general principle of life, so many things are said in fits of anger that that person will always remember that can never be taken back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like if only you held your tongue that one moment, you wouldn't have permanently injured that person.
Yeah.
And so any count to 10, whatever you have to do, just don't speak until you've calmed down.
Now, Heather, you tell girls now that your life is easier, that they really should keep their dad active in their lives. I mean, how do you do that when sometimes, like for you, what you really want to do is cut your dad out completely, and yet that brought you more pain? What do you say to the girls now who are kind of in the midst of that?
I would say just to be willing to listen to your dad, to hear him out, to try to see where he's coming from. Because from an adolescent's perspective and a parent's perspective, those are two very, very, very different points of view. And just try to compromise and just try to think of the other person more than you think about yourself. I mean, I think that a lot of relational issues come from each person gets very self-centered and very stuck in what they believe and this is the way they should do it and this is right. Instead of doing that, take a step back, take yourself out of that situation and say, I wonder what it's like to be in their situation. And once there starts to be sort of an empathy between the two and sort of a compassion, I think that that's definitely a way to start really, truly hearing each other more.
That really is helpful. My daughter, who's 22, Christy, she says, you and Mom have gotten so much smarter in the last few years. Well, that's because perspective does amazing things, you know, in terms of that process. Now, Charles, you and Cheryl made some very difficult decisions. You alluded to it earlier. You took Heather to several counselors, entered her into programs for hurting teens 7 times. How did you make those decisions? Somebody's saying, you know what, my child probably needs to go to one of those hurting teen programs. What did you do to make the kind of decision to actually say, okay, we can't handle it. We need to send her on.
There's a lot more help today on the internet. You can go to several different sites, do some searches, and you can find various places and even organizations. There are counselors that are set up to help you think through those programs. in retrospect, because when she was going through all this, the internet wasn't as active and not as many of these programs were as publicized. We sent her to about the most stringent place you could go, in the middle of Utah, where there was absolutely nothing but cows and just a cold in the winter and hot in the summer. We didn't know any better. In retrospect, we would have sent her somewhere, a less stringent, harsh environment. For parents making those decisions, seeking help from a counselor is huge, doing their homework on the internet. And we even write about some stipulations that you or some things you look for if you're thinking about sending them to some place. Make sure you prayed about it, make sure you've examined it, and make sure you've gotten counsel, because oftentimes there is help closer to home than sending them off to Texas or Boston or Utah, which we did for Heather.
Those are really good words of advice. I don't have much time left, but I do want to ask you, if there's somebody who's listening to our voice right now and they are in this situation and they are feeling shameful, they don't want to go talk to their pastor because they're afraid it's not going to be as good of an environment, what do they do?
Again, the internet is a wonderful resource. There are counselors who specialize in helping parents sort through the decisions they need to make. There are some probably local, wherever a person finds himself. If not, there are also some resources on the web. By simply doing a search, they can, you know, Christian brat camps, those kind of things, will reveal all kinds of resources that will give them some practical help. Because I know the feeling sometimes folks don't want to come to me as pastor because they feel ashamed.
Yeah, great, great insight. Listen, our time has gone by so fast. I've got lots more questions. We've got more of the story. Can you come back next time?
Absolutely.
Great.
And that concludes part one of what will now be a two-part conversation here on the Homeward Broadcast. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns talking with pastor and author Charles Stone and his daughter Heather. And they're very, very candid retelling of Heather's rebellion, what Charles and his wife did to try to restore that relationship, and how it was not easy. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of intentionality. And, you know, sometimes, Jim, I think that's one of the problems that we get into in the modern Christian world is we're looking for a three-step plan where we just click our heels three times and everything's going to go back to normal. And it doesn't always go back to normal the way we want it to. But I know that there's definitely a light at the end of the tunnel here. There is a silver lining we're going to hear more about.
Well, I appreciate their authenticity. I'm anxious actually to hear day two, because I think there'll be some more hope too. And having children of my own, and that being one of the biggest fears.
Right.
And also at Homeward, we have a lot of people who listen who have rebellious kids and who are at risk. And so I thought they gave some great principles today. You know, one of the principles that I want to talk about is if you're a parent dealing with a rebellious child, one of the things that Charles made so clear today was the importance of seeking outside counsel and help. You know, Proverbs 11:14 is one of my key verses in my life. And it says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Well, I really want to encourage you that if you're at your wit's end with a rebellious child, then please seek outside help from either a pastor, a couple who's been already through some of this stuff, or even a professional counselor. There is no shame in admitting that you need help and seeking out the help you need. As a matter of fact, the scriptures make it really quite clear that if you don't seek help, well, there's a good chance that you may end up falling. Of course, it's also extremely helpful to hear from someone who has already gone through what you're going through. And from what we heard today, the Stone family really went through it. Now here's Roger with some information on how you can get that story and some great information on how to help a rebellious kid.
Well, we mentioned at the start of the program that their book, Daughters Gone Wild, Dad's Gone Crazy, is available wherever Christian books are sold, and it's a book that we highly recommend. Dr. Jim Burns has written a book on this topic as well. The book is called Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers. One of the questions you might be having as you're listening to Charles and Heather talk about their story about how Heather was this kind of rebellious 13-year-old who wound up going through brat camps and really living out of control. How much of that, if your teen showing that kind of activity and exhibiting that type of behavior, and how much of that is just kind of normal kid angst, and how much of it is really willful disobedience? Teenology will help you kind of distinguish between the two. And you can order a copy of Jim's book, Teenology, from our Homeward Resource Center. When you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we truly appreciate that tax-deductible donation today. You can learn more when you go to homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.